The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to part two of the BS Report. My buddy Joe House on the line. We've been going through my NBA, my ballot. They gave me a ballot this year, and we're trying to figure it out. We have the All-NBA team coming up, and we're going to talk a little Caps Bruins after. House, you still there?
I'm here. Who gave that ballot to you? Was it Kia? Was it Mr. Kia himself?
I don't know how I got the ballot. I'm probably not going to get it next year after this podcast. Most Valuable Player Award, sponsored by Subaru. LeBron, you never read my columns anymore.
I actually read that one, though.
MVP ballot, or the MVP trophy, the five levels of an MVP trophy, the worst one being the Wimbledon platter.
Yeah.
I think LeBron was better than that level. I think he was.
Me too.
The second level out of five.
What was the third level?
Third level was the average good MVP season level, 10-pound trophy.
So why can't he get that? Let me hear your argument against that. That's where I think he belongs.
You think he's third level?
Yeah, I do think he's third level this year because of why this year, the special things he did in a special year. But I want to hear why you think he belongs at the second level.
Because they weren't the best team. I think if they were 53-13 right now, you could talk me into it. But they weren't even the best regular season team.
But isn't this exactly the season to not be the best regular season team? What do you gain out of being the best regular season team in a season with unprecedented back-to-backs and strings of games, five games and seven nights and all the rest of it? And this actually leads me to exactly why I think LeBron deserves that third tier, which is he sat out two games this year, and both games were to rest.
Right. Well, you're making the – this is why we thought he was going to win the MVP, because he's such an overpowering physical specimen that – the schedule is almost like a good thing. It's like an advantage for him.
I think they went 13-1 with D-Wade out this year.
Yeah.
I think I saw that's the stat right now.
I guess, like, for me, he was definitely in the level 3 or level 4 stage of the MVP season. But then when they started losing all those road games, and he couldn't stop it, if it was like a level 3 or above MVP season, I feel like LeBron just says, hey, guys, get on my back here. I'm going to stop this by myself, and he didn't.
Well, isn't that the story before that Celtics game? Which was the game that they had a road game where he went in and put the music on, and that set the tone. That's a story from inside the last month. I'll have to Google it.
Set the tone for what?
They went out and kicked butt. They ended the losing streak that they were on. It was either like it was against the Knicks or the Celtics or somebody.
Hmm.
And they went out and kicked butt.
Yeah, I'm feeling level 2. You say level 3. We'll agree to disagree and say it's a level 2.5. We'll give him a 7.5-pound trophy.
Who do you have number 2?
Number 2, I have Chris Paul.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
now,
I fully admit that pick might be biased, not because I'm a Clippers fan, which I'm not. I'm a season ticket holder.
Yeah.
But just because I've seen so many Clipper games, and I know for a fact all the stuff that he does.
Yeah.
Whereas if I had gone to 20 Oklahoma City games and watched 45 of their games, maybe I would have a different appreciation for Durant. But, man, you look at the Clippers, and they have one other good player, Blake Griffin. Everyone else is either average or below average. Bunch of role players. Nobody can create their shot. In crunch time, watch the Clippers in crunch time. It's just Chris Paul. Nobody else can do anything. Blake disappears. Everybody else is a spot-up shooter. None of their centers can score. They have nobody who can post up.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't come through in crunch time, they lose.
It's why they're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Probably, you're probably right.
I mean, it's a – it really emphasizes the disappointment of Chauncey getting hurt this year.
But even Chauncey's a three-point shooter. Like, everything they do...
I know, but that's a different dimension for them. It just would have been really interesting if they could have stayed healthy all year. That's
I
all
will say, though, you're going to laugh.
Uh-huh.
You're definitely going to laugh. I'm going to say it anyway. Randy Foy has given them everything Chauncey was going to give them.
He really has. Oh my
Look
God.
At the stats.
He's
won probably seven games for them this year with like these 3-point barrages that he has, and he's got a lot of confidence, and he makes threes. And I'm gonna say, I can't see the stats right now, but he's probably shooting like 38-39% from three, and he takes a lot of them.
I can tell you what he's shooting from.
Yeah, but just watching that Clippers team, everything they do depends on Chris. He's the leader of the team.
He's not in the top 40. Which means he's shooting under 30. Oh, no, yeah, there he is, 39%. He's 35th.
And takes a lot of them.
315 attempts. So he's near the top in attempts.
Yeah. He's had a really good season. The Chauncey thing's only been he's been missed the most just from a leadership standpoint, which is why their season turned around as soon as he started coming to the games again. I don't know whether that was an accident or a coincidence or whatever. But anyway, Chris, everything they do revolves around him. He saves himself for the last 6 minutes of every game because he knows that every possession will be him breaking down somebody off the dribble and creating a shot. And he's actually made multiple guys better because the Clippers are now at this stage where when he drives to the basket, whether it's Foy or Mo Williams or Caron Butler, whoever's out there, those guys go to spots and teams never know what spots they're going to, but Chris always knows what spots those guys are jumping to and he finds them. And they've become pretty fairly hard to stop.
What's the wins above replacement? That they have that in I hate to ask this.
He would have the highest.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, other than LeBron, I feel like he's had the biggest impact on his team. And if you use the analogy, I used this the other day, of if you replaced him with an average player versus if you replaced Kevin Durant with an average player, Durant's my third pick.
Yeah.
Let's say you replace Chris Paul with Drew Holiday.
Uh-huh.
I think the Clips go like 23-43. And if you replaced Durant with Thaddeus Young, I still think the Thunder make the playoffs.
The only reason I don't like that line of argument is because if you could apply that to a handful of teams and come up with skewed results, where would the Suns have finished without Steve Nash this year?
I think they would have been
a
16 win team.
Yeah, exactly. So
I was playing off your thing about the win replacements.
No, I know. I got you.
I think if you're doing win replacement, however you figure that out, and there's probably a scientific way to do this, then Dwight's obviously in there too because everything they do depends on his shot block and rebounding.
Yes. Right, and their defensive metrics are demonstrably worse when he's not playing.
But here's the other part with the Chris Paul, and I wrote about this the other day. Like you have this franchise that has always sucked. Things always go wrong. The fans expect the worst. They're poorly run. They have a bad coach. They lose every year. They've had six winning seasons in 42 years. And they're having the best season they've ever had. And it's him. There's no other reason.
Yep.
It's not, Blake Griffin's a lot better. Blake's the same he was last year. He hasn't changed one iota.
DeAndre.
Yeah, DeAndre is probably worse.
I love it. It's a great argument, and I'm not going to take issue with any bit of it. The only thing that the only observation I had to make is I feel like Kobe deserves to be in the top three, some way, shape, or form, and mainly because I believe this might be his best leadership year in his whole career.
Very fair point. We're going to get to him. I have Parker 4.
You're not going to get any argument from me. I don't have a takedown for Parker other than he was hurt for a little bit.
This was
Love. That's the worst thing I can say about him.
If Rubio hadn't gotten hurt and Love hadn't been concussed, I think this is a four player discussion.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a 3-player discussion, and then there's a drop off. I had Parker 4, Kobe 5, Steve Nash 6.
Okay.
If Steve Nash makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to have to think about it because your Kobe leadership point's a really good one.
We're going to talk about him when we get to the NBA teams, right?
Yeah.
When we select first team, second.
Yeah, we're doing that right now. So anyway, that's my ballot. And I think Parker to me is the four because San Antonio was the best regular season team. He was their, you know, their crunch time guy. He had a great season.
Yeah, he this is best season ever statistically in terms of assists and in terms of free throw percentage.
I like
huge for him.
Yeah, I like reward. I also felt like he passed the test of seeing him in person and just going, "Whoa, that guy's effing good." Like
is this his 11th year?
He was great this year.
It's amazing.
So Nash, you know, I don't know how that team's not 16-46 or whatever.
Yeah,
it's clearly a lot has to do with him and the Tony set. Kobe. I think Kobe was a lock for the top five till he missed the 2 weeks. And unfortunately, you know, you got to start nitpicking when you get to trying to figure out who the five guys are. Other than that, I don't think anybody else is even in the mix.
Yeah, I don't.
Would you put one other person even in the conversation? I think it's top three, then the next three, and then I don't know.
Did you mention Kevin Love? You just
yeah, but they, I mean,
the sense that he was concussed. And
I think
his statistical season was unbelievable.
Yeah, I would put him probably seventh.
And he showed a new, I'm going to use the word skill, but I don't really mean it this way. He really became a team leader. I mean,
yeah.
He was single-handedly responsible for that double overtime game against the Thunder because he just refused to lose. And that's like a new development for him. That's a new wrinkle to his game. He's got a little bit of tough SOB in him.
Yeah.
That's kind of coming on. It's very attractive. That's the way I'm going to put it.
I'd probably have him seven.
It's fair. I mean, you know, you can't have him ahead of any of the guys we've mentioned so far.
8 through 14, I'm just putting all Celtics.
It's so unlike you.
Greg Steams was my 14th pick.
No joking. I mean, Rondo isn't insane at like a 15 spot.
Well, we're gonna
awesome season he had.
Yeah. Well, you can only pick five, fortunately.
I know.
So if Phoenix makes the playoffs, which it doesn't look like they are,
it does or does not.
It does not look like they're.
Oh, because Utah's gonna get that spot.
Utah's probably gonna beat them tonight.
Yeah.
Utah's playing well. I'm telling you, I would not want to put Utah in the playoffs. It's not a joke. Especially that, you know, they have a good home court advantage too. But
they do have that unique home court.
All right, so let's go to the creme de la creme, the
yes.
All-NBA team. Really enjoy this.
This is going to be hard.
And just for the record, the All-NBA team is really important. And I'm so glad that I finally have a ballot because I really feel like this is – it's almost a historical document of the season. And when I was, you know, spending 3 years working on my book and looking at some of the All-NBA teams, trying to figure out how they came to some of the conclusions, I was just dumbfounded by some of the picks that, you know, were on permanent record and –
Well, that really, those all NBA teams, if I'm recalling some of the conversations I had with you while you're working on the book, that really provided you with a roadmap.
Yeah, it really did. It let you know, like, you know, if somebody wasn't on there, but they had good stats, it made you think, like, what was wrong with that guy? And you start doing more research, you know? And by the same token, like, somebody's on the first team and it seemed a little dubious, like, oh, that's interesting. Anyway,
yeah.
First team, the forwards are obvious, LeBron and Durant.
Yes.
Chris Paul's spot, I think, is obvious. I think those three are locks.
That's interesting.
You don't agree with that?
I think it's reasonable to have Chris Paul on the second team.
All right, so who would you have ahead of Chris Paul?
Kobe Bryant and Tony Parker.
All right. I disagree.
Okay.
I have Tony Parker as my other guard.
Yeah.
This kills me. It makes me so unhappy.
It's just because you're in this irrational hate zone right now.
Here's the thing about the All-NBA team. It's performance only. You're voting for the player who played the best at his position.
Yes.
You're not tying in all the weird... When you start talking about the word valuable and how that a guy affects his teammates and stuff like that, that from my understanding of how you pick these teams, that doesn't really come into play here. It's a straight performance. How did this guy do? How is his season? And unfortunately, that means Dwight Howard is the first team.
I love that you had to give that 34-second lead up to it. He was the best center in the league.
The Thursday
like
night
the past 3 or 4 years.
The Thursday night game when. when he didn't try because of the Stan Van Gundy thing, I just, you know, and I know he's getting back surgery now, and he'll probably blame that, but I know what I watched. Anyway, so LeBron, Durant, Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Tony Parker.
You don't want to have a discussion about Kobe versus Chris Paul?
To me, no discussion, because Kobe missed the, what did he miss, 2 weeks? And
maybe,
also,
but it was only like 7 or 8 games.
And also, again, this is a performance award. Now, a lot of why you like Kobe was because of that it was his best leadership year. If you just look at the stats, he had an Allen Iverson shooting season.
He took a lot of shots.
He basically shot 38% for the last couple months.
But he also is leading the league in scoring.
Because he takes 24 shots a game. You'd be leading the league in scoring, too.
Well, he
takes 24 shots a game and 8 free throws. Nobody takes. If Durant, you think Durant would lead the league in scoring if he took 24 shots a game?
He should be taking 24 shots a game.
No, he shouldn't.
That's the team that needs him doing that.
I think that's where I think you're wrong. When I watched that team, especially when they were playing the Celtics those 2 times, I didn't want them to go to Bynum at the end of games because I feel like Bynum can score whenever he wants. Bynum's crunch time. Bynum's shooting like 80% in crunch time. I'm not even joking. It's 80%. Go look it up.
I'm not going to look it up, and I'm not going to argue with you. I know what I've seen from Bynum. He's unstoppable.
I don't understand why Kobe shoots all the time when they have Bynum. At least make teams double Bynum.
I honestly think, and this goes back to that leadership point, Kobe perceived that he needed to do it. He sized this team up at the beginning of the season, saw Michael Brown's arrival, saw kind of the shaky experience they had just gone through with all of the trade, no trade stuff, saw what they had at point guard, and said, you know what, I am not ready to forfeit this season. I'm just going to take this thing over. I'll be gosh darned if he didn't, you know, carry them all the way to where they are right now, 3 seeds. You know, they're going to win that division. Did they already lock it down? They already win that division?
They have 3 of the best 20 players in the league.
No argument, but, you know, somebody had to, you know, get them all to work together, get them on the same page.
No, I agree with you. I have them as on second team All-NBA as one of the 2 guards. The other guard is?
Dwayne Wade?
Nope.
Russell Westbrook?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
I think Westbrook goes back to that thing we talked about with LeBron, with how the schedule seemed to bounce off him.
Yeah.
And Westbrook and Durant, I think we're both in that category. These guys just come full tilt every game. It's almost like they're not even playing a condensed schedule.
The thing that I believe I was kind of most impressed with Westbrook was the maturity that I think he showed as soon as that contract got done. And maybe there was no cause and effect. Maybe he had that maturity level in him, and we were going to see it this season anyway. But he really settled down, and, you know, there's a reason that they're, you know, tied for best record in the league.
And the thing that he needs to learn is how to affect the game if his jump shot's not going in. That's the
last
stage.
He's the one that can get to the rim that's unstoppable going to the rim. That's what's most curious. Or, and that really goes to the Scott Brooks thing.
Or maybe learn one post-up move, Russell.
I don't know. I don't want him learning that yet. He still has another 2 years worth of unmatched, unparalleled explosion to the rim.
But that's the thing. If he was on the low post, he could do the same thing, or like on that little 10-foot spot away where he, you know, if he's got anybody who's smaller on him, he should be able to just overpower the guy.
He should be able to do at least a little teeny tiny turnaround. So he can jump right over everybody.
Westbrook and Bryant is the guards. Kevin Love for one of the forward spots. I don't think there's any question.
Uh-huh.
He's, you know, there's 3 forwards that really matter this year. Now, for that second forward spot.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of candidates for this second forward spot and then for the 2 third team forward spots. Here are those candidates. Kevin Garnett.
Yeah.
Who played center for half the season, but played forward for half the season too. And we have plenty of centers, and I'm fine making him forward here.
Mm-hmm.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Yep.
Who sucked for the first 5 weeks of the season and then kind of came on. And when you look at that Dallas team and how limited they are, he's got to get credit for dragging them into the playoffs.
No argument.
Tim Duncan.
Oh.
Emotional anchor of that team. 28 minutes a game. Put up a 15-9. The leader of the team, the anchor. and they were the best team in the league.
Okay.
Josh Smith.
I'm glad that his name is at least, you know, that we've said his name in this conversation.
Fantastic statistical season, best of his career.
Yeah.
That team overachieved.
Another guy who matured this year.
Matured. He still will take the occasional terrible shot. But the best I've ever seen him play, and I think he's been really good. And he may or may not be on my third team.
Interesting.
And then finally, Pierce.
Okay.
Pierce has been outstanding since the All-Star break. He's been one of the best 15 players in the league since the All-Star break. Then the question is, do you penalize him for what happened the first half of the season? And also, you can't have Garnett and Pierce because that's ridiculous.
I agree.
So
I have neither.
I figured you wouldn't.
Go ahead.
I went with Garnett for the second team.
Oh, my God.
I'm willing to be talked out of it, though. I have till Friday.
Over Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, I almost swore. There's no way I'm putting Carmelo Anthony on these teams. Are you crazy? He got a coach fired. He quit on his coach. Are you nuts?
Are four games above 500.
I don't care. He quit on his coach.
Them on their back. As soon as that
good.
Coach, all we know is that as soon as that coach was gone, the Knicks have gone on a tear here. And are
I'm not rewarding that. No.
A team in the, huh?
No, I'm not rewarding it. No, not rewarding Carmelo Anthony.
I mean, I don't. The Garnett thing is just too sentimental. I mean, this isn't, you know.
What are you talking about?
This isn't a career award.
Are the Celtics a playoff contender or not?
So are the Knicks.
Now, please, the Celtics would beat the Knicks in a series in five games. It's ridiculous. You crazy?
I just think that when Carmelo plays at the level that we've seen out of him over the last 3 weeks, he is a top, you know, six or seven player in the league.
I agree with you.
He's playing at that Olympic level.
I agree with you, but here was the key part of that sentence. The last 3 weeks.
He had to get rid of that coach.
Oh, my God. I don't reward coach killers in my NBA team belt.
Some coaches deserve to be killed. Think of how the Clippers would be if Chris Paul killed Billy Donovan and Penny DelNegro.
The bottom line is there. I almost wish I could leave the second team forward blank and just have three third team forwards because I don't feel like any of these guys deserve to be second team. And maybe Nowitzki gets this over Garnett because he probably meant a little more to Dallas.
Yeah.
But Garnett was the one man. Defense and Boston's had the best record since the All-Star break, and it's been because of his defense.
I think KG had a very third team.
I think KG did too. I got to vote for somebody.
You don't like what? It's not Josh Smith and Nowitzki on the third team.
Well, I was going to put Josh Smith and Nowitzki on the third team, and KG is the second team guy.
Okay, that's fine. That's you don't.
But you can talk me into Nowitzki. You can talk me into Nowitzki over Garnett.
No, I. Again, on the same principle that you're so outraged by Carmelo. You know, Dirk admitted he showed up at the season tired and out of shape.
I know. Tough to reward that. So then, that's why when you go with the case against Pierce versus the case against Dirk, it's basically the same case. It took them 6 weeks to get going.
Right.
And Dirk's had a better season since, and he's meant more to Dallas than Pierce has meant to Boston. I don't like leaving Pierce off because I do think he's one of the best 15 players right now, but
yeah.
I'm leaving him off because I'd rather give that spot to KG.
I think it's a little sentimental, but it's fine. It's your ballot. It's not my ballot.
Yeah. Well, I do feel like
that. I think honorable mention. Uh-huh, go ahead.
The eight teams can win the title, and the Celtics are one of them. And the biggest reason, other than Rondo, is what KG does defensively and from a rebounding standpoint. Like, he's really playing the best he's played in 3 years. And I don't know what the reasons are, and I don't want to know. But
you didn't. Anybody checked his passport?
Was there a Dusseldorf trip in KG? I don't know what happened, but I'm not going to argue with the results, and I'm very happy with it. For second team All NBA center, any guesses?
It's not Andrew Bynum.
It might not be Andrew Bynum.
How could it not be Andrew Bynum? It's Andrew Bynum. That's the no brainer of no brainers. Didn't he average an 18-12 this year?
Marc Gasol let's talk about for 1 second.
That's fair. Go ahead.
No Zebo for basically 2/3 of the season. Only big man on the team. Playing with Maurice Spates, who was traded for a second round pick by Philadelphia.
Maurice Spates is not bad, by the way.
Not bad, but new guy who was given away by his old team.
Now newish. New to them. Sure, I got you.
Darrell Arthur gets hurt, blows his Achilles out. He's out for the year, another big man.
Yeah.
Dante Cunningham now playing minutes. Basically, he was their only rebounder, shot blocker, low post guy for 2/3 of the season, and that team is now one of the 5 best teams in the West, and he held the fort together. And his stats were, his averages weren't as good as Bynum's, but he's a much better defensive player.
I don't know that I would say that.
He's a better defensive player.
I'm not there.
More defensive anchoree.
Yeah.
Not immature. Never got fined for his immaturity.
Yeah,
didn't get benched on national TV on Sunday.
Again, though, you made the appropriate point at the beginning. This is a performance award.
It is. I'm making the case for Gasol versus Bynum.
Yeah.
And also, I left Gasol out of my my centers thing a couple weeks ago, which was a mistake, and I feel bad about it. But now it's probably Bynum.
Yeah.
I feel weird about having a first and second All-NBA team that has 2 Lakers on it when they're not even one of the best 5 teams. Like, doesn't that seem weird?
Why aren't they one of the best 5 teams?
You put Chicago over them. You put Miami over them.
You have to put Oklahoma City over them.
Put Oklahoma City over them. Put San Antonio over them.
I wouldn't put Oklahoma City over them.
All right, fine. I'll do Bynum. Let's reward all the coach killers. Anybody else kill a coach this year? I got a spot for my 13th All NBA. Anybody shoot a coach, or they're just quitting? All right, I'll do Bynum. Gasol's then third team over Tyson Chandler. Listen,
that's fair.
We rewarded Tyson Chandler Defensive Player of the Year.
That's it.
And
recognized.
Yeah, if you really want me to reward somebody who scores 10 points a game for a 500 team with an All NBA spot, then send me an email about it. Make your case. Forwards, I have Nowitzki and Josh Smith.
That's good. I like that.
Can't believe Josh Smith is on my All-NBA ballot. Wow.
He deserves it.
Then the guards are the biggest no-brainers of all time. Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo.
I don't have one single thing to argue with. The only thing about it that I, with a sentimental point of view would be Nash. Could you sneak Nash into a third team?
Yeah, but this is a pure performance.
It really is. You can't have him in ahead of either one of those guys.
Yeah, when you go performance, he's a guy who's averaging 11 points a game, and Rondo's assist numbers are better. And
I mean, it's crazy that Wade's third team and not second team.
I know. I don't feel good about it. I almost wish I could give Wade the second team All-NBA spot and then have the 3 forwards on the third team, because Wade is clearly one of the best 10 players. It's just that position was stacked this year.
Yeah,
I do think they could be a little more lenient with these teams, but
I think it's okay to honestly. Why can't Westbrook be on the third team
over Wade?
And then Wade goes up to the second.
Because
team.
Wade, you said it before, the Miami was 13-1 without Wade.
Okay, that's a fair answer.
All right, so let's go over the teams one more time.
Yeah.
LeBron, Durant, Howard, Paul Parker, first team.
Pretty good.
Love, Garnett, Bynum, Westbrook, Kobe, second team.
Uh-huh.
Nowitzki, Josh Smith, Marc Gasol, Wade, Rondo, third team. I feel good about that.
Yeah.
I guess the toughest dilemma for me was Tony Parker versus Kobe for the first team, and I just think that Kobe's shooting stats just weren't good enough. I can't put somebody who's a 39% shooter since the All-Star break on the first team.
I personally would have Melo in there. I would have Melo in.
I'm sure you would.
Josh Smith.
You should hire Melo for your company, and if he quits on you, you could reward him with a bonus, because that's apparently how you operate. Last thing, and then we're going to let you go.
Yeah.
We did all those predictions, the NBA over-under predictions, before the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have them.
You have the tallies. I don't have them.
I have them. Yeah. So right now, you locked down 11.
Pretty good.
You hit on the Sixers, Lakers, Timber, the Lakers, you had at 43-23. I had them at 34-32, and they're on pace 43. So congrats on that.
Thank you.
You hit on I'm sorry, you had the Hawks, the Cavaliers, the Pistons, which I had a chance to sneak out there. You had the Nets. So you won a couple cheap ones here. The Nets, I had 19, you had 20. They're going to win with 22.
Well, that was a function of your game.
I'm just saying.
It this closest to the pin thing.
You had the Knicks. I said 43 wins. You said 42 for them, so you won that. You had the Sixers, which you're barely going to win.
Yeah.
The Lakers, Minnesota, New Orleans, Sacramento, and San Antonio. I'll give you kudos on this one, Joe House. You picked San Antonio to win 43 games. I had them for 38. I thought the schedule was really going to bug them.
Well, then, because you disrespected Pop.
This is my favorite, though. You picked Sacramento 21-45. I picked Sacramento 20-46. And right now they're 21-43. We're dead on. We can smell the stench of Sacramento from miles away. I had 12 right. I'm really proud that I won the Bobcats. You picked the Bobcats to win 23 games.
That is an outrage.
I picked them to win 20.
Yeah.
God.
We both are dumb.
We're idiots.
Yeah.
The Bulls. I was pretty proud of this one. You picked the Bulls for 47. I picked them for 48. They have 48 right now.
Well, I think that was one of those closest to the pin ones.
Yep. But the thing I'm most proud of that podcast, we both declared that nobody was going to win 50 games this year.
Have we achieved that? I mean, don't the Spurs still have three games?
Spurs have two games left, but they clinched.
Okay.
And the Bulls are 48-16 and have two games left, but they also clinched.
Okay.
So I think we're going to win that one.
That would be good. I mean, I'm knocking on wood a little bit. I don't want to jinx it.
I also hit the Pacers.
Yeah.
I had 39, you had 38. Miami, you had 49, I had 48. They're 46-18 right now. I might hit that exactly.
Yeah.
Toronto, I won that. Not proud of it. Washington, I won that. Not proud of that. Dallas, you picked to go 48-18. You're a dummy.
That was bad.
I picked them to win 45. Not much better. They're 36-29.
That was poor research, that Dallas one.
This is one of our big disagreements, and I was really excited that I won this one. Golden State, you had for 29 wins. I had for 22, and they're 23-41.
I just thought that Monte Steph Curry thing, that especially with the schedule this year, I don't even feel that bad about it. I think they should have won 29 or 30 games.
Right.
Curry being hurt, you know, the way he was all year.
So then Memphis, they're 40-25 right now. You had them for 44 wins. I had them for 42. I think we're both winners. We both love Memphis this year.
Yeah, we both love Memphis. And it wasn't a disrespect. Those are two strong win totals that we gave them.
Yeah. Phoenix, you had for 32. I had for 33. Right now they're 33-31. So we were both dead on that one.
Yeah.
Portland, we're way off. Portland was the big loser in the over-under thing. I had them for 36. You had them for 40.
Yeah, that was
and they were winning 28. And then Utah, I had for 29-27. You had 28-38.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I had
good.
29-37. You had 28-38. And they're going to be 34-30.
Yeah.
So here are the ones remaining. There's seven left to swing this for us.
So you're at 12 and I'm at 11 right now?
Yeah.
This is exciting.
The Houston Rockets
are
33-32.
Uh-huh.
I had them at 32 wins. You had them at 34.
I feel pretty good about that.
So if they lose one more, we split that.
Yeah.
The dreaded tie. Celtics, 37-27. I picked them to go 37-29. You picked them to go 39-27. So if they tank the last two, I win. We're probably going to split.
We're going to split.
The Bucks, I had 32. You had 33. And they're 31-33. Mm. I might win that.
Two games left.
Orlando, 36-28. I had them for 39. You had them for 36. Denver, 36-28. I had them for 37. You had them for 36.
Mm.
I think I'm going to win that. Clips, 40-24, their record right now. You had them for 37. I had them for 44. Feels like a split. And then Oklahoma State, I had them for 48. You had them for 47. And they have 46-18 right now.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to win, House. I looked at this from every angle.
I think you're going to win. It's going to be close, but I think you're going to win also.
And when I win, I'm going to mail you the YouTube clip of Tell Me How My Ass Tastes by Shaquille O'Neal. And then you can report back to how my ass tastes.
I was so gracious last year after I beat you with real live Vegas win totals.
Mm.
I didn't send you one taunting thing. I was gracious. I acknowledged how close the call was.
I don't operate like that
with our home team. Yeah, clearly you don't.
And in fact, I think one of us is going to taunt the other after this Game 7 Caps Bruins.
I'm glad that we haven't talked about it, and I'm especially glad that we did this podcast on Tuesday and not tomorrow, because I don't think I can speak with you tomorrow.
Yeah,
there's going to be curse words involved.
Yeah, you know, you should have won Game 6.
I don't know about should have. Every single one of these games has come down to these. You know, there's kind of two plays every game, and it's just it feels very freaky. You know, who's going to end up winning one way or the other. It's the closest series in the history of the NHL.
It really is amazing. I thought that when Ovechkin scored to tie it at 3, and you had all the momentum at that point, it just looked like a textbook Bruins crappy playoff series loss.
And I'll tell you, every one of these games, I get a feeling from Holtby in the first, 6 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought that Sunday's game, he was not at the very, very top of his game. I mean, the funny thing is I've seen the kid play 10 games, you know, his whole life. But in these playoffs, I feel like you can get a read on how he's going to do whether he's going to be locked down or not. And he was just a smidgen off. They didn't lose because of him.
No. Well, Thomas,
they lost because of Backstrom. But
Thomas hasn't been, you know, he's just not like he was last year. And
no.
There's no doubt. The wrister that he gave up I don't know what's going to happen. The one thing I thought was interesting about that overtime,
yep.
And you tell me if you agree or not, it felt like the Bruins went up a notch. And it felt like they had an extra gear that they could go to. And I felt this way about them all season. When they're playing when they're at their peak, they seem like they're the best Bruins team we've ever had. But they don't really get there that much. But for some reason, that overtime, it was just clear. They were like, we're winning this. This is going back to
Boston. Ice was definitely tilted downwards. It felt like there was two or three chances very early in the overtime where I was, you know.
Whereas the Caps looked a little deer in the headlights.
They were struggling. And I didn't understand. There was a line that I loved that didn't make it onto the ice. Because it was Chimera's Semin line. Did not touch the ice.
I know. Believe me, I was delighted about that because Semin's been frightening in this series.
Well, and Chimera has been tough as nails. Scored a goal that game. I mean, you know.
I think what's interesting is if the Bruins had lost that game, I think the whole offseason people would have spent wondering about Tyler Seguin, whether he has it or not. And just like, where was he in this series? And especially in the power play, because the power play and 4-on-3 situations, stuff like that, he should just be dominating. Like, he's so fast and he's such a good passer.
Surprised. Two things have surprised me about the Boston Bruins coming in. I didn't watch a lot of them this year.
Yeah.
I went and saw them play against the Caps. The Caps kind of have their number, so I never was all that worried about it. But the two things I was surprised by, first of all, I thought Marchand was a lot bigger.
Oh, he's tiny.
No, I mean just a more physical guy. He's not. He just chirps. He's like a poor man, Sean Avery. He's a punk.
Yeah,
I mean,
not, settle down.
It's not that.
It's a Stanley Cup winner.
I was prepared for him to agitate. But the other thing is the Bruins' power play stinks.
Well, it stunk last year too.
What is that all about? I don't understand it. You have a lot of skilled players, a lot of guys that can score goals.
It stunk in the playoffs last year and they won the whole thing. This year it's been worse. That Seguin was the guy that was supposed to be the straw that stirs the drink to some degree. And, you know, that's why I'm hoping that goal was one of those tipping point moments for him, because everybody was kind of waiting for him to show up this whole series. And then
he's still really young, isn't he?
Yeah. He's second year guy, but you know, at some point, you want to see something, and he was great during the season. But you know, we were waiting for one of those put the team on the back moments, and they miss. I've watched like way too much Bruins this year, and I don't totally understand hockey, and I think that's why I liked watching hockey so much this year, because it's a simple sport. It really is. You don't have. It's the one sport that hasn't been overrun with statistics and numbers and formulas and all that stuff, and it's just guys skating around. And you crash the net, and you work hard, and you work in the corners, and it's kind of like it. You know what I mean? You kind of almost turn your brain off and watch it.
It is helpful that you can kind of trace bad things to bad plays by players. Like, you can pretty directly trace.
Yeah.
you know.
But you said
Dennis Weidman has been an absolute abomination. The Bruins, every one of the Bruins' goals, with the exception of, I think, the overtime goal, have come with Dennis Weidman on the ice. Like, you know, you can really, it's not that complicated.
Right. It's really not. And it's not that complicated. Like, they interview the guys between periods. Like, what do you guys have to do? You know, we got to keep crashing the net, and we got to go out there and, you know, really try to create some opportunities, and we got to get in the corners, and, you know, it's not rocket science. And, you know, I think when you look at the Bruins and the power play, like, you know, it's really Sagan's got to be the guy. And
so I think he's learning.
Maybe. We'll see. He certainly is a talent. But, you know, the guy's, what is he, 19, 20?
Yeah.
The best thing in the playoffs, though, is Claude Giroux just telling his teammates to watch the first shift and then crunching Crosby in the first 20 seconds and then scoring in the same shift was the highlight of the playoffs, I thought.
I honestly feel like if they – I haven't watched much of NHL TV this year.
Yeah.
But if they just put that series on loop, I would watch it. I would watch a lot of that this summer.
I watched as much Pens Flyers as I did of Bruins Caps.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I've watched as much Pens Flyers as both Bruins Caps and that Vancouver series, which I was really fascinated by.
I obviously watched that whole series as well.
Such a different brand of hockey.
Well, the West is much more finesse.
Yes, that's a great word on the podcast.
It's really finesse, and it was funny when the Bruins came in and played the Kings, you know, 6-7 weeks ago or whenever it was, they just manhandled them, you know, and it was like you watching, you actually felt bad for the Kings. Like it was like a physical mismatch.
Well, that honestly is the thing I've been most proud about Washington.
Yeah. You guys stood up for yourselves.
Yep. Very physical series from the Caps.
I almost tweeted this after game six and then I felt bad and I didn't, but even though the Caps lost, I was going to say that was still like the sixth best moment in Caps history, right?
That's not funny.
Well, I mean, you have no good moments, though.
A lot of good moments.
What are the good moments?
There have been 10. They made the Stanley Cup.
They made the Stanley Cup finals in what, 98?
98, yeah. There have been some decent moments. Dale Hunter's overtime goal against the Flyers. I can't rattle them all off the top of my head.
Is Rod Langway's mustache in the top 10?
That's a top fiver.
All right. Well, I wish you the worst of luck tomorrow.
Yeah, same right back at you. Yeah. We will not speak until the game is over.
And we might not even speak after that.
That's probably right.
Wait till over
just
the
send, you know, disrespectful
right,
email.
All right, Haas. Yeah, thank you for the help with my ballot.
Yeah, good luck.
We'll talk to you soon.
Turns out well for us.
Thanks,
bye.
Buddy.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.